Welcome to Empire Building, the podcast where we talk about building big businesses and even bigger lives. I'm your co-host, Wendy Papazian.
I'm Sarah Reynolds.
I'm Seychelle Vanpool.
And I'm Via Williams. Today, we're going to talk about disappointment. Are you disappointed?
Oh, yeah. I hate this episode.
I know.
I'm disappointed we're talking about disappointment.
Let's do all that together.
But you know, it happens to everybody, ladies, everyone.
It does. I mean,
it's just a fact.
Multiple times a day.
Yeah.
I mean, I think, you know, around the holidays, around the first of the year, sometimes we get to this point where we're self-reflecting on what we thought we would do or what we wanted to do and what we actually did. And you can deal with some disappointment, or you know, set your house up and it's beautiful and you set the place settings and then your family all shows up and eats in 5 minutes and doesn't really say anything about it. You know, it's just a little, maybe I'm projecting a little bit. Maybe you spent.
Then are you listening?
I know. Well, I read this article. Actually, I was disappointed. I cranked this article out one night, or this, sorry, this article. I cranked this episode out one night when I was disappointed in something. And I started researching disappointment. Like I Googled how to get over disappointment quickly, because I was disappointed in someone and something and, you know, whatever. And I ended up reading this really good article that referenced this book, and then I started reading the book. And the book is called Expectation Hangover, Overcoming Disappointment in Work, Love, and Life by Christine Hassler. And what I love about it is she talks about expectation hangovers happening in three categories, because why would she say expectation hangovers with disappointment? What is disappointment?
Unmet expectation.
And that's exactly what it is. So she has three categories that are the primary ones that really resonated with me. The first one is situational. Just, you know, like setting up the table, like I said, for Christmas, and it's all beautiful. And then people blow in, they grab their plate, they go watch football. You're like, I spent 2 hours doing this tabletop. So situational is something that doesn't turn out the way we wanted it to, right? Or sometimes what it also is, and I think this is key, is that we don't get like the satisfaction we thought we would get from a particular result. So I did, you know, the race, or I did the thing, and I'm like flat, like, didn't change my life. Don't really feel that different, right? You know, situation, something with a thing.
Let me add in a story there real quick, Bea, on this that I've had a big impact on me. For years, I wanted to be like the top team in the DC area. And that was like a goal we had. We were always number two or number three. And I was like, you know, one day we're going to be number one. When I got there, I wasn't, it did nothing.
Yeah.
Like there was no like, like it was a situation that like, and so like my expectation was that
the moon didn't explode when you walked out the door.
It was like, so I think that that's like something that a lot of times we put on ourselves, like situations on ourselves that we're wanting. And then it comes and you're just like, oh, no, it's not that big a deal.
So. Well, and we'll talk more about kind of what to do in that situation too on this episode. That's a perfect story for situational, you know, disappointment and expectation hangover. The second one, Sarah, is interpersonal though. Like when we're let down by someone else, or we're, you know, maybe unpleasantly surprised, right, by their actions. And so that's when someone, you know, in an interpersonal level just lets you down, or your perception is that they let you down, right?
It might be a story you're telling yourself.
I think, well, it often is, but regardless, it's an
interpersonal
relational thing as opposed to a situational thing, you know, which was like, I'm number one in a market, you know, interpersonally would be like, you know, I severely let you down, Wendy, and you know, you'd be upset at me or whatever. And then, you know, the third one is self-imposed, which I, this is my tough one. I mean, I flog
myself,
or my natural inclination is to do that, but it's when, you know, we don't live up to our own standards or expectations. And I think that as we get to like the end of a year or the beginning of a year, we naturally reflect back. And I think that that self-imposed thing can be really tricky when you're disappointed in yourself and you're just, oh, I should have done this. I should have done that better, you know, so. Yes, well, for sure. We all go through it. And like Sarah was saying, we all go through it sometimes multiple times a day where we feel disappointment. And when left unchecked, disappointment can lead to being unmotivated, can lead to depression, hopelessness, even physical illness, and honestly, mm-hmm. all sorts of negative feelings yeah. and behavior. Luckily, like many things in life, it can be managed. And it's really like a muscle that when worked out, it can strengthen over time. So it's just really important, guys, as we grow big lives, we actually need to open ourselves up to more disappointment, and we have to learn how to manage it.
That's so good.
Yeah.
So good.
You know, and the irony of that is that the best path forward to learning how to get over disappointment is actually to be disappointed many times, you know, and the empire building caveat.
That's how you work.
Yeah, it is a muscle. You're working it out, but that means we have to continually be disappointed, which is kind of a bummer. Like, it's disappointing that I have to be disappointed that many times. But like the empire building caveat on that is that, yes, you have to be disappointed many times, and you have to be purposeful about learning the lessons from that disappointment so you can move through it better and faster. So that's a lot of what we're going to talk about today, is how to do that.
I think the best example of this is probably as you're growing your team and you have people that disappoint you either in the roles that they have, or they disappoint you when they decide to leave mm-hmm. you. And mm-hmm. I know for me, especially at first, when those first few hires decide to move on, or maybe they don't live up to your expectations, it's almost devastating. And then it's something that over time, of course, you're still upset when key people leave you, but somehow you're able to deal with it more because you really understand it's not about you. It's really about mm-hmm. them, and mm-hmm. they get to go on to a new opportunity. And you also know that you get the opportunity to bring somebody new into your world. So for me, that's, I don't know. It's just gotten so much easier for me.
Yeah. Well, there's another sort of side to this, right? So sometimes we're disappointed when we don't get what we want, but you know, what's also interesting is that you can be disappointed when we do get what we want, right? Mm-hmm. According to a Harvard Business Review, people wrecked by success either didn't believe they deserved their success, or they don't experience the feelings of bliss or happiness when they achieve it. So sort of what I just mentioned earlier. Yeah. And one of the biggest things that stood out to me this year was when I read the book Dare to Lead by Brené Brown. And she says the most vulnerable emotion that we feel is actually joy. Mm. And so many times when we are experiencing what we wanted, we actually push the joy away because we feel like we don't deserve it, or we're not worthy. And so sometimes you can experience disappointment from the things we wanted, right?
Yeah.
And so there's another side of this as well.
Well, and I think about even people as uber successful as like Jeff Bezos with Amazon, right? Who literally wanted to put himself up in a rocket to see if he would feel something looking down on space, like down on the earth from space, because he's craving like something different, you know? I mean, he's like the wealthiest person in the world. He has all the success and yet still is finding disappointment on a daily basis by trying to find more. And, you know, I think if like he can still find disappointment at that high of a level, we have to figure out a way as leaders and as people and entrepreneurs to cope with that and to find ways to process it in a healthy way.
I kind of want to go back to something that you said, Seychelle, when you talked about the empire building caveat to this, you know, because a lot of us subconsciously or consciously avoid disappointment like the plague. And we do that by not doing anything out of your comfort zone. So we think, well, you know, if we don't risk, if we don't take big swings, I always quote Rich Barton on that, take big swings. Mm-hmm. If we don't take big swings and risks, then you're right, we won't be as disappointed as much. But, you know, the empire building caveat is we want to live big lives. So we have to be willing to jump into this. A lot of people, and I want you to just think about this to yourself, a lot of people avoid disappointment by overachieving and being a perfectionist because they think if they do it all right, they won't be disappointed, right? Some people run at it and embrace it and embrace the lessons that it brings. And I actually think it's one of my superpowers. I think that I don't fear failure and disappointment like some people do. It's just like, it's a great thing. But that same Harvard Business Review article, which we will put in show notes because I read it. It's really, really great. But it goes on to say that a lot of people blame disappointment with personal failings. And then they get in this cycle of obsessive self-blame, shame, and humiliation. And they kind of go inward. And some of them kind of violently beat themselves up. And not, the word violent is a trigger word, but I think that was kind of me. Like, I think that I used to kind of, it was just this cycle. And in retrospect, it was almost this weird victim cycle, like where I was almost over-owning it. I was like, you know, really, really blaming myself and just going through this cycle. And so there, you know, there's this element of giving yourself grace. But do you guys resonate with that? Anyone? Yeah,
I'm having out-of-body experience right now, Via, because just such an aha with what you're saying. Yesterday, I had a really in-depth finance meeting. It's the first time ever I had almost basically a panic attack. I'm being very vulnerable here, but panic attack in front of multiple team members to where I had to tell them, ask them to leave my office. The reason was because we were talking about all, we now have this huge company of over 200 people. Mm-hmm. We don't have the HR set up for this many people. Yeah. I had team members that were being paid that actually weren't even employed anymore, but no, because the leader didn't tell HR that does payroll. It was a complete mess. Yeah. Okay. And I take full responsibility whenever anything is a mess or we didn't know, or, and so I was feeling very like, this was my fault. Like, and just very responsible. So I started getting emotional. And so I asked everyone to leave for, let's take a 5-minute break, which I learned from Brené Brown, also Dare to Lead. It's okay to say we need to take a break. And my chief growth officer came in my office and he looked at me and he goes, this is not your fault. He goes, this is actually just the next step in the process. Mm-hmm. And it's not also all on you. Like, you cannot continue to take everything as it's on you. And I've been processing that for the last 24 hours. And then you saying that, Via, I'm like, that is 100% where I am right now and that I need to step out of it. And it is a form of victim mindset, actually.
It took me a while to get there, but you see what I mean? You feel like on one hand, you're over owning it. Like, you're like, I'm owning it. How can I be a victim? I'm taking full accountability. But then I found myself kind of, that was going on the other side. Like, it was just going too far into like, oh, woe was me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's good. That's really good.
Yeah. That's been me 100% on the personal side with everything going on with my dad's health and being like, I've been on such a journey over the last, you know, 4 months of, you know, we've been like, their house flooded, they're living in our home, which I love my parents. Like, they're at our house, like, you know, we're financially supporting, I'm physically handling all of the logistics, we're physically keeping him from falling on a daily basis. And we can't own all of that and school and running a team. And it was like, you get to the point to your beautiful, you know, beautiful aha, Sarah, of like, I got to the point where I was like, I can't own 100% of this and like physically survive. And so, you know, I had to learn how to be vulnerable and ask for help, which for me is like the anti-love language for me. And it's been a huge journey over the last 4 months to figure out how to do that and to not beat myself up when I can't handle it all and own it all on a daily
basis. So it sounds like many of us really resonate with self-disappointment, right? Self-disappointment. Yeah. And so that's definitely our probably struggle. But so let's talk about how. Okay, so how do people deal with disappointment, right? Yeah. What are some practical things that we can do when disappointment comes, businesses, marriages, parenthood, social lives on ourselves, right? Disappointing ourselves. Let's look at how we can adjust when we're disappointed.
Yeah, I mean, like anything, you know what I'm going to say. We need a framework, but I think
a framework.
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 Just not to go down a rabbit hole, but y'all realize the reason I have to rely on frameworks so much is when you, it's an emotional intelligence tool of mine. Mm-hmm. When I am a passionate individual who my natural tendency is to probably let emotion rule some decisions. So I had to learn years ago that frameworks help me not do that. That's why we can make fun of the fact that, yes, I always say framework, but it's really helped me in business and in life to have framework because my brain goes into this playbook. Like, okay, I'm just going to follow the playbook.
I love your framework.
What also helps you get to where you want to go faster if you have a framework for something. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I created this framework, I hadn't thought about it before. I created it kind of for this episode based on some of the articles that I read that we referred to and kind of going, oh, okay, yeah, that. Because I think all of us actually are good at overcoming, disappointment at some level. And so, I came up with six. Of course it's six. Of course it's six. I came up with six ways to, six steps, I should say, to overcome disappointment. And I thought about this long and hard. Seychelles is going to be the one to list them.
I noticed we're just gonna you keep made me the list them. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to say them all so that if I miss it later, I've already said it. I noticed what you did there.
Boo.
So let's dive in. So the six steps to overcoming disappointment are, number one, we want to anticipate it. Number two is we want to feel it. Number three is we want to control our response. Number four is to ask questions and to interrogate the reality on that. Number five is to make a deadline. Number six is my favorite one, which is have a tribe. So to start out, how do you overcome disappointment, Via? How do you do that?
At Her Best Life, we're not just building businesses. We're growing our net worth, leveraging our platforms for good, and living our big lives. And that's what Empire Circle is all about. It's an executive membership designed for ambitious business women leaders who want more. More growth, more profit, more impact, and more freedom. This is where powerful, deep connections meet powerful results. Apply now at herbestlife.com and join us by stepping in to Empire Circle.
Number one, you do not overcome disappointment. And so number one is you anticipate it. And, you can walk into every day knowing that some disappointment's going to happen. Right, Sarah?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I literally say this Bible verse every morning. There's a verse in the Bible that says there are few days without trouble. Yeah. And so when you go into your day, like, hey, my job is to handle the trouble. And if there's no trouble today, man, that's a gift, right? But most days we're going to have disappointment. So anticipate it. Know it's coming.
And that's the thing. Going back to kind of what we were talking about at the beginning, guys, this is managing your own expectations. That's what disappointment is.
Right.
If you expect it, you're managed. You're not disappointed, right?
Well, and it's also thinking about it in a different way, which is thinking about failure as Sarah was saying, as part of the process, or thinking about failure as a way to learn something new. I say this all the time, but we most of us grew up in a public school system where the worst thing that we could do was to get an F, which is failure. Yep. And I just think we really underestimate how much that conditioning really affects all of our psyche as young people. And if for 12 years, all we're doing is trying to avoid failure. Then we never really understand that failure is actually the way to success.
Mm-hmm. 110%. Yes.
Yeah. And, when you get to that point of failure, right, the next step is to acknowledge that you're going to have the feelings around that. So you got to step two, feel the feels and allow yourself to feel that gut punch wherever you feel it in your body. For some, it's in their stomach. For me, it's in my upper back and my shoulders. It just tense up right there like crazy. But
mine's definitely my stomach.
Your stomach? Stomach.
And it's a pit.
Yeah.
And I think this is so hard for so many of us who feel like we have to, we grew up, rolling through the hard things.
Right.
I know for me, this is really hard. It's easier just to deflect or be funny or be sarcastic or than really sit with it. You know, I think this is, we're learning this from Brené Brown also, which is just to sit with the feeling and feel it, you know, instead of deflecting or disassociating.
Like we tease on the podcast, but I mean, so often too, we, instead of feeling it, it's the phrase of, I'm fine. It's fine. We're fine, right? Like it's, like how many times have I personally have said that, you know, and it's easier to say that than to go into what really is not fine. Yeah. What really is not fine in that moment.
Yeah. This is about, to me, and I do say this a lot too, it's working through it, not around it. Mm-hmm. It's working through it. And it's a little bit of pain up front because your natural defense mechanisms, you want to avoid it. But if you can just sit with it for a minute, you will move through it, not around it, way faster, way better.
Yes.
Yep.
It is a process.
So, and identifying that emotion that you're feeling, by the way, is really good. Yeah.
So anticipate it, feel it. And then third, which is honestly can be really difficult in the beginning. So you can't control your first reaction, but you can absolutely control your second one.
I love
it makes me think of one of my favorite quotes by Charles Swindoll, which is life is 10% what happens to you and 90% how you react to it. Mm-hmm. Life is 10% what happens to you. You don't control most of what happens, but you do control the reaction that you give, right? So you need to be able to control that, and it's a habit, right? So this is a muscle, and the way that you react to something, pausing, many times for me, I will remove myself from, I will switch spaces. That alone will help me calm down when I'm disappointed in terms of a reaction. But it's really important to watch how you react to it and control that second reaction and any reaction moving forward.
Yeah, that's right. Mel Robbins' 5-second rule also comes to mind with that too.
That's good.
A good book if anyone hasn't read that. Okay.
Yes.
So number four is ask questions. And, you know, my via twist to that would be ask inward unemotional questions, right? And this is my fail framework. And then I adjusted my fail framework to this disappointment framework. So number That's one, good. Hey, were my expectations reasonable here? Was it reasonable for me to walk in my day thinking nothing was going to go wrong today? No, that's probably not reasonable, right? Did I cause this? Did I cause this or did an external, you know, event cause this? I mean, it's, you know, it's my marathon day and there's a snowstorm, you know, did I cause that or was it an external thing? if the marathon's in November, what are the expectations you had about the weather in November in a northern climate potentially? And the only reason that came up is that I'm going to walk the New York Marathon next November and there's a group of us talking about it. And there's a really real discussion, like it was great weather this year, and that's probably unusual. Are you willing to walk 7 or 8 hours in horrible weather? And we're all pausing on it to think about if we want to do it, because that's an external expectation. I can't let myself get disappointed if I choose to do that and it's that weather. Number three, go upstream. What could I have done to prevent this? When did this really start? What is the true cause? I mean, we always want to go upstream on things. And then number four, what behavior do I need to change or instigate because of this? And Wendy, to your point, this is like, how can I take this and learn the lesson from the disappointment, right? How can I use this disappointment to grow and change, right? So that I, you know, I either change my behavior, change an external thing or whatever. Sarah, going back to your story, it's like, all right, you know, you were disappointed in yourself, okay? How can you stop yourself from being disappointed in the future on that matter? And I think you said it, you hire finally HR.
Well, we have HR, but it's more of like, we didn't, like Matt was like, we didn't know to know a year ago. There was no way for you to know. We weren't there yet. This is just the next step in the process of, and so it's like, the expectation on myself was not realistic.
No.
Like, 100%. Yeah. Perfection is not realistic. So,
Well, I love that. Yeah, I actually think number four is probably the most powerful one. It's probably the one that most people would skip. And that's where you learn the most about your disappointment is really taking the time to reflect. You guys, we talk about this all the time on the podcast. We talk about how thinking time. Most of us are just go, go, go all day long. Even if it's just a little journaling at the end of the day, or, you know, even the following morning, just thinking about like what went well yesterday, what didn't go well. Most of us are just like blowing and going through life and we never think about anything. So I love that reflection time.
I'm going to go on number five really quick on that, because that just gave me a hack, really quick hack, super quick on that. I've gotten in the habit with fails and with disappointments now of the old Bea would have like gone from the meeting or the appointment where, you know, I had a tough result, right? I would have gotten in my car and just started returning calls, blowing and going. I quote you all the time, you know, as we say, using these frameworks. Now what I've trained myself to do is typically I'll get in my car and I pull out of where I'm going and I'm running through these questions in my head. I'm doing a quick autopsy right then and there. And then I start in on the calls and whatever it is I'm doing. So I just wanted to throw that out there. Good habit.
Yeah. Because I mean, it just gives you a chance to ask the question, like, what story am I telling myself about all this stuff? Well, and just to hop on to number five, which is to give yourself a deadline on how long you're going to stay depressed, mad, or frustrated, because, you know, you do want to feel it. You don't want to just walk through it and not feel it. But don't let the disappointment hangover stick around too long. I've had some big disappointments that in retrospect lasted way too long, like over a year, you know, and sometimes those, and sometimes they never go away. You know, sometimes that prickle is there underneath the skin, no matter how much you think about it or how much you try to forgive someone or whatever it looks like. And what's sad about that is they're still winning whatever bothered you. You know, that other person is probably isn't thinking about you at all. And here you are wasting your time, your precious energy.
That's right.
You know, having an issue around that. So.
Well, and I think that gets back to the control that Sarah was talking about on, like, you can't reaction, but you can control your next. And I think about that when you, well, like, I've had moments myself where I've been really disappointed in something and I've held on to it for a long time. And it's like, A, that emotion now is controlling me. And B, I'm giving it permission to suck up energy or precious time where I could be finding joy and memories and other things. And Wendy, you're so right. That other person probably has no idea.
And I think that's more, it's harder, I think, with people. I just want to be like, I think when disappointment, even in ourself or in something that, like what that first one was, which wasn't people, it was the second one. I think when it's people, you know, my dad, Steve Reynolds quote, stop, everyone pause, write it down. Cause you know, people will cause you your greatest joy. They will also cause you your greatest pain. And so that's just human life, right? And
that's
so many times, that's just kids. Exactly. So many times I think that's when it becomes hard, the deadline thing to like move on from the disappointment. That's probably the hardest. Those are the hardest ones.
For sure.
When it has to do with people.
I love that. And one question I've started asking myself is this emotion over that person or thing still serving me at this point? And if it's not, then you have to let it go.
Actually,
that's good,
Seychelle, you know what? Just to emphasize that, I actually ask the opposite question. I say, how, what is this giving me? What is this, emotion feeding right now?
That's good too.
Say always has the golden nuggets. And when I listen, because I listen to our podcast all the time, and when I'm recording, I don't hear them so many. But then every time I'm listening, I'm like, Say, she's so smart. And I'm like, writing it down.
I feel the same way.
Seriously. I'm like, it's the best. Okay. So last, but honestly, we could have put this first for sure, because so much of what you do is around who you surround yourself with, right? Mm-hmm. So having a tribe around you to sort of cushion the fall, but all of us need people that we feel safe with, that we can be real with. We can talk about our disappointments and be very open about them, things that are many times confidential, but having a tribe around you where you feel safe to discuss, and you're really, your tribe is there to lift you up when those things happen. And, or, you know, our tribe sometimes will tell each other, you know, you're being a victim, move on. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's so powerful to have that tribe around you.
Yeah. Well, and I second that. And it's important to have a tribe around you who is at your level and experiencing the hard things that you are going through as well. I can't, I can't even count how many times this past year where one, you know, our tribe has a group chat and where somebody's posted something in the group chat that's been awful, insufferable, you know, and somebody else has said, like, I feel your pain. I have been there. And if you have, if you have a tribe who's looking at you like, oh my gosh, you do so many hard things. Why do you do that? You probably need a different tribe around you.
Yes. I think that that was proven. We had our Her Best Life event earlier this year, and we were projecting that 10 people would want to be part of our Empire Circle. We had 70 people that reserved a spot. And we were shocked, but I don't know why we were shocked, because honestly, this is something that people need. The tribe, they need the tribe, right? I just want to say, because it has impacted my life so much. If you are interested in learning more about our tribe sort of philosophy and how that has helped us all have big businesses and bigger lives, you can go to herbestlife.com and find out how to get more involved.
I love that.
Surround yourself by people that will uplift you, that are in a similar place to you, and that will be there through disappointment. So,
well, I can't think of a better way to wrap this episode up. And you know, this was our episode on really our six steps to overcome disappointment. Number one, anticipate it. Number two, feel it. Number three, control your response. Remember, you can't control your first reaction. You can control your second. Number four, ask questions. And we can put those four questions in the show notes. Number five, make a deadline. How long are you going to be in misery over this? And number six, which we all are blessed, you know, with, is have a tribe. Thank you so much for joining us today. And like all of my fellow Empire Builders, we hope you have a great business and an even bigger life. Have a great day.
Bye.
Bye, guys.
Thanks for listening to Empire Building. If you like what you heard, join our tribe by subscribing on your favorite podcast platform and help us spread the word by leaving a 5-star rating and review. Until next time, wishing you a life worth living. And remember, you are an empire builder.
This podcast is for general informational purposes only. The views, thoughts, and opinions of the guest represent those of the guest and not KWRI and its affiliates, and should not be construed as financial, economic, legal, tax, or other advice. This podcast is provided without any warranty or guarantee of its accuracy, completeness, timeliness, or results from using the information.